Listen closely. The views discussed in this podcast are solely those of the hosts. Audience discretion is advised.
Welcome, everyone, to an all-new episode of The Winning Podcast. I'm your host, Luigi. Obviously, it's just me here today. But listen, you know what I mean? You rather get one of us than not get a podcast altogether, right? So, Caleb's not able to make the podcast episode today. I'm going to take it on myself to just get the show going. As you already know, it's always bright in here, so I got to wear my sunglasses. I've gotten a lot of comments on why I wear them. Listen, when we try to record at different times of the day and there's all these lights and everything else like that, I sometimes get a headache. I think I've said this before. But anyways, because let me tell you, looking into the camera, I know how it looks. I know how it looks. I get it. Anyways, like I said, all new episode. I am here to hang out with you guys. I kind of went out of my way and created my own little setup, you know what I mean? For those who don't know, I've gotten a little bit more into just podcasting. I play FIFA competitively, so I'm kind of using the same setup here. To see what we can work with, right? Maybe this is a way for me to start recording a lot more episodes. Maybe in a different format, maybe shorter content. I don't know. But looking at it now and seeing what we're able to do and the quality of it all, I like it. So it's something I might want to explore a little bit more. Welcome back to all the returning listeners. And welcome to all the new listeners. If you don't know and you're a new listener, sometimes I get off on a little bit of a tangent. What is going on here? I like this. I'm able to edit real time. We haven't podcasted for a little bit. If I'm being completely honest, I am trying to bring a lot more content. But the good side to that is there's a lot to talk about, right? Like there's a lot to talk about, and I got a lot of opinions. That's what the Winning Podcast is all about. We're here to celebrate the culture. We're here to talk about my opinions. I've been dying to talk about this one. Give me a second, guys. I'm going to turn on my AC because it's a little hot in here. You know what I mean? Live podcast experience. Anyways, I've been wanting to talk about this one for the sole purpose that I need you guys' help to decide. So, first topic of today, we're going to dial it back. I'm going to let y'all know how I'm doing. I'm doing pretty good. Listen, this summer has been a summer, all right? There's a lot just going on. Life's hectic. Again, I'm sure, you know, you guys can kind of tell because it's kind of affected the podcast a little bit. But we are getting back to normal. Things are looking up. Things are looking fine. We're resilient. We're strong. You know what I mean? Not that anything too crazy is going on. But anyway, just wanted to get that out the way. That's how I'm doing. So getting right into it, I wanted to talk about music first. I love music. You know what I mean? I listen to music like so often that my podcast has to have a component to it. That's all music. excuse me. So, a couple weeks back, it might have been a month now, I don't know, Young Thug and Gunna dropped new albums, right? At this point, I'm assuming if you listen to this podcast for one, and you're disliking the game, you've heard it. So we're going to talk about it. I even kept my phone near me so we could even talk about the track list and everything. I like both albums, but I do feel like, unlike everybody else, and maybe because I'm a stan and he's been around longer, and I just have, I guess more, I just relate more to them because I've been listening to their music for a while. I liked Young Thug's album over Gunna's, and no one's talking about that. And I feel like partly it's because, yes, on the tape, Young Thug didn't really address his current situation, right? For obvious reasons. Just like everyone said, it does not seem like this is a project Young Thug was heavily involved in. past the actual recordings, you know? So I get that. And also, it kind of a backhanded way was like he also had a set list of features that should have really propelled this album to be better. I get that too. Like I'm not gonna deny that. Like obviously, sometimes you feel like some of those supporting roles might not have given the oomph you thought it would. So I get that. Whatever. But we're not gonna. And the other side too has been, you know, this is in Young Thug's catalog. This is just not the best one he's done. I'm going to disagree for a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm gonna disagree because I feel like this album, Metro's version, the regular, when he said that, I was like, how different could it be? But he put it out, and I do think the sequencing, I've always thought the sequencing in an album could make or break it. But that really added a whole new layer. I'm pretty sure he added a couple new songs. Yo, Jonesboro go hard. All right? Like, I'm not going to lie. Jonesboro alone, I think, is almost better than, like, a third of Gunna's album, if I'm being completely honest. Because I like raw, unfiltered Thug. We don't get that a lot from him. So when he come off the beat like that, and he's really just going off the dome, that's such a, like, a rare occasion, you know what I mean? I appreciate it a lot. Overall, as an album, I get it. I understand the sentiment. I understand why people are saying the things they're saying. And I understand that we expected a little bit more from an artist like Thug. But I thought it was pretty good. If I'm going to give it a rating out of 10, I'd give it a solid 8. You know what I mean? From the beats, from, again, just the energy. This album felt new. With the way hip-hop's been going lately and the lack of just quality products we've had, this was a pretty good take. This was a pretty good swing at it. And that's what people are not saying. I understand you always want to hold an artist with a certain pedigree, but at the same time, you can still appreciate the project for what it is. And this was a damn good project, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. Right? So I'm going to pull up the track list. And something I find myself doing a lot lately because of the way music's gone, you're not listening to the entire track of the album. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to find your songs and you're going to move on. This is a pretty good listen through. You can listen to this. It has a lot of replay value. That's the other thing we got to talk about. A lot of music nowadays doesn't even scratch that. And again, tossing it up that, well, it's Thug, you expect that. That's not fair because, again, with everything that man's going through right now, this is a fucking quality project. This is easily a contender for album of the year. You know what I mean? Again, from the feet, we're going to get into it. Let me get some water. The Winning Podcast. Yeah. So, again, we're talking about Metro's version, right? Yeah. So, again, Jonesboro's, listen, raw, unfiltered. The beat, nasty. You know what I mean? Like, you put that on in the car when you're driving down the road with the windows rolled down. You might not be that guy, but that song in that moment could make you feel like that guy. You know what I mean? Especially in the summer. Especially with everything that's going on. Like, that song just goes hard. That is off the hinges easily. A great way to start the album. Very well thought. And again, it's Thug going bar for bar. Like, it's so good. I think it's a way better way than, I think, the other version started out with Drake, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Parade in Cleveland. Another solid record. But honestly, because, again, you could tell a lot of this was recorded before everything started happening. The way Metro sequenced it in Jonesboro, like, it really, it sounded like, yo, we're talking about here and now. You know what I mean? As compared to the regular version they had put out, that song, I understood why a lot of people could say in that moment, it just wasn't good. But shout out Metro. My man's really on the up and up. He's been doing a lot, right? Good for him. So back to Metro's version. Then we have Mad Dog. Mad Dog's another good one. I haven't felt this way about a Thug project ever since the Slime series, yeah. You know what I mean? This is just good. It's like back to back, like, and he got all the right features on here. I like this a lot. I might sound a little biased, but I think a lot of them are. Uncle M, I don't know if I really remember that one. You know what I mean? Want Me Dead with 21 Savage. A great... Listen, we're going to talk about Gunna's album too. Because Gunna did something a lot of rappers can't do today. Especially with his situation. We're just focusing on Thug right now. Because we got time. We're going to pod today. We're going to figure this out. We're going to make it happen. With the 21 Savage did his thing. He's on tour right now with Drake, which we're going to talk about later. But he's killing it with the features. He doesn't really disappoint. That's a pretty solid thing to fall on. And a lot of people said with the heavyweights he had on this album, he should have done a lot bigger of numbers, sales-wise. Excuse me. But I think 80,000 in today's day and age, that's solid. Especially considering what the other popular artists are doing, which is not that. It's a great album. Oh, you went. Oh, no. Cars Bring Me Out. Listen. I don't drive, but I wish I did. Listen. Yo, it's one of those tracks, the minute you hear it, you go, I see what they were doing here. Thug went off. Future came through, slid. Yo, the combination and the way they really balance each other out, it's a great song. It is an amazing song. The beat goes hard. Thug goes like it, that. Listen, a highlight. Easily one of the highlights of the album. Easily. Whoo. Because I'm playing the song in my head right now, and the beat fucking slid. Let me tell you, it's again. You expect this level of quality from Young Thug easily, but it's still nice when it catches you off guard because you go, it's one of those. So shout out to him. Shout out to Future. Crazy record. It's a crazy record. I think this would have easily been one of the promotional ones if Thug was out. You know what I mean? Like, it's good. It's so good. Money, which I'm pretty sure was... Oh, no. Oh, You Went with Drake. That one was cool. Now, it's Young Thug and Drake. It's what you'd expect from Thug and Drake. It's not bad. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I've heard they've done better. What I realize about these artists like Thug, Travis Scott, Don Toliver, and when they work together, they know, boom, this is going to get them. You know what I mean? And so with that, you can sometimes kind of see what they're being a little lazy with it because they already know that their chemistry is so good that whatever they put out is going to be good. I know you guys know what I mean. It's different than them going hard. Like, this is a record they were like, come on, like, easily, this is what we got to do on this, done. So no shade in that, but it went. Money. With Juice WRLD and Nicki Minaj. I ought to get licensing for the podcast, you know what I mean? Because I'd love to play this music while we're talking about it. The instrumental, nasty. Sick. Disgust. It's nasty. It is. Oh my gosh. Thug comes in, kills it. Juice WRLD, easy. And Nicki. You know what I mean? And like enough said. That's another record that I do believe if Thug was out, didn't really be pushing. It's such a good record. It's composed so well. And it's the way the song starts. The first time I listened to it, I was like, okay, I see what they try to do there, but I'm not sure. The second time the song came around, because, again, I remembered how it started, I knew when the beat dropped, shit's about to go off. And let me tell you, shit was everywhere. Skid marks everywhere. It was kind of ridiculous. It was really good. The chemistry was overwhelming. Another highlight of the project, right? And we've kind of halfway through. And again, all of these songs are quality songs in a culture and today's day and age where you get the hits, the TikTok songs that really made it, and everything else in the album is mediocre and tossed up too. I was trying something new. You know what I mean. After that, we have we have Hoodie. Classic Thug. You know what I mean? Like, this sounds like 2010 era Thug. It felt personal. It felt clean. It was good. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to skip this song. You're not going to skip. And it is another song that makes you feel a little fuck around and find out, if you know what I mean. It does. It sounds really good. It's Fisher with B-Slime and Lo Got It. Again, long time Thug collaborator. Chemistry's there. The song sounds good. The beat is grungy. You know what I mean? You really feel it. You really feel it. Oh, man, I'm telling you, this is such a good album. I don't understand the hate towards it because, with everything going on, this is such a solid project. Anyways, moving on. We have With the Racks, 21 Savage and Travis Scott. I'm not going to lie. All I'm going to say about this is Travis Scott's Utopia. There's a lot to prove with Travis Scott's Utopia. And I'm not talking about production-wise. I'm talking about delivery and actual substance. Travis Scott on this album, to me, if we're talking about, you can easily see where they went for the cash grab with the bigger names, I think Travis Scott was it, if I'm being completely honest. And I love the guy. I love his music. Always been a fan. Always will be. But if we're really going to say they brought in the hip-hop Avengers to save this album just for, like, marketing purposes, I think he was the artist that was that, because all the songs he was on, his part specifically was mid. Again, not production-wise, because he has that unlock. And we've never expected Travis Scott to be, 12 bars, right? I get that. But the performance was a little lacking, if I'm being completely honest. Again, not a bad song. Everybody did their thing. But compared to 21 Savage and Young Thug, his part was really lacking. That's all I'm going to say. Love the guy, though. Parade in Cleveland. People are saying that the conversation was with AI. I don't know. I'm not going to look into it. But it's fire. The first 10 times you hear it, you might chuckle, if I'm being completely honest. But I thought it was pretty fire. This song goes hard. Thug's part. Again, Drake did his thing. I don't know if this was specifically for Thug. I don't know if he just sent a bit he already had. It was cool. Drake formula. Nothing groundbreaking. But Thug slid. I'm gonna let you know right now. And that, I think that was the point of this entire album. Thug was the main highlight. No one outshined him. Sometimes that happens. A lot of time that happens. No one outshined the boy. The entire time he was in control, every time he was rapping, he had it down. Love that for him. Parade in Cleveland's another highlight, if I'm being completely honest. I don't think it deserved to start out the album, but where it landed in, fire. Good for Metro. Metro knows what he's doing. Yeah, these guys, I'm telling you, I love it. The creativity is off the charts, right? They get together and they put out these projects that are so well thought out. And Metro's been in a crazy run. Because Heroes and Villains is crazy. The Spider-Verse album, insane. Anyways, Abracadabra. Travis Scott, this song was cool. Again, I understand how they come up with these. I get it, right? Like, I get it. But it was cool. Whatever. Listen, it's my first time. Anyways, Hellcat Kenny is cool too. Went through it really good. Money on the Dresser, another solid record, if I'm being completely honest. Solid, solid record. Gucci Grocery Bag, filler. Easily a filler song. I get it. It sounds good. We needed a break. We had to go outside, smoke some, drink something, go get some food. I don't know. Session was done for the day, and this is what we had. I get it. Global Access. Listen. Every time Thug does not go with a big name, but like an Atlanta native or something similar like that, easy. It's always good. You know who I would have actually liked to see on this album? Lil Yachty. I think Boat would have been a great... I think I would have actually swapped out Travis Scott for Yachty, if I'm being completely honest. Something I never thought I'd even say ever in my life. But I think I would, because they... I think Yachty fits this a lot more. It's a lot more grunge. You know what I mean? And then Sick of My Kids, another solid record. Overall, the record comes 5 minutes short of being an hour long. That's a pretty long project for today's standards. And for such a long project, it's good. It's really good. It's at least an 8.5. You know what I mean? And that's a solid... And I know the people out there who are giving it lower scores is because they're in the industry, they're making music, they understand a lot more than I might. But as a top-tier consumer, you know what I mean? As somebody with a little bit of knowledge who can flex that shit, I'm going to let you know right now, this was not a miss. Not at all. Great album, and I think it was probably better than his last album. If I'm being completely honest. So yeah, now let's talk about Gunna's album. Shout out Gunna. You know what I mean? They can't keep you down if you're good. I love that. I love that. When the talent precedes people's perception, you won. You won. They can't. You can't lose. That's not a losing formula. You can feel however you want about me, but when my talent still shows up and I'm outshining you niggas, what are we talking about here, right? I love that for him. Listen. Gunna's album is really good too. If I'm gonna... We'll talk about the winner afterwards, right? But Gunna's album is really good because with everything he has going on, and he was able to address it, which is what I think gives him an up on Thugger. You know what I mean? His album's a lot better than a lot of y'all's music right now. For if this is what it takes to have a solid album, y'all should try it. I'm gonna be completely honest. So listen, everybody's against this guy. Album goes featureless. Shout out J. Cole. Shout out everybody else who's done it. He went for it. No features. No big names. Literally by watching the music videos and just looking at Gunna now, you can see the money train that was behind him before is no longer there. Not that he ain't got no money. That's not what I'm saying. But easily, you can see how they didn't bring the loner Rolls Royces to the set. They didn't bring the Vixens. Like, it just was different. For all intents and purposes, I think it works a lot better because of that. Because you can't come out, you know, with everything that went down and act like shit's just sweet. You can't. I get it. So, easily, featureless, but all the beats go hard. And again, a big highlight of this, he was able to address the things that happened. He's able to address the industry, the friends he had, the people who's turned on him, and his current situation. And it worked really well. The beats were fire. They weren't over the top, which I don't think would have worked long term. Because again, you can't be pushing that type of energy with the energy you got going on around you. So I think it really played well into it. So let's look at it. Artwork. I think Thug's I don't know. It's kind of, it's interesting because, again, Thug's artwork was cool. I don't think that's the one he would have chosen, whether this wasn't, if he wasn't in a situation he's in, because it wasn't as, to me, it wasn't as artistic or as Young Thug did this for his, right? But for Gunna, again, you can kind of see, you know, Illustrator, you know what I mean? Like, it ain't nothing crazy. It's not bad. It ain't nothing crazy, though. So, back at it, solid record. I feel like I've heard it before, though, which is, you know, a win or a loss, depending on how you want to look at it. But it's a solid record. It's a great way to start the album. Again, he's back at it. Yo, both of these guys are rapping their asses off. You can't take that away from either one of them. You can't. You legit can't. And I love that. I love that so much. Because these guys are going off. It is not mediocre at all. Gunna carried this entire album by himself. You niggas can't do that. So that's why I don't understand a lot of the hate. You know what I mean? Because a lot of y'all cannot do what he did on this album. Obviously professional. He's been doing this. He's crazy with the energy. But you guys aren't seeing Gunna. You know what I mean? Is what I'm going to say right now. Back to the Moon, solid record. Again, I'd love to put these on as we were discussing them. I Don't Know No More was cool too. Fuck You Mean is fire. Go Crazy, Turn Your Back. All in all, 45 minutes. Decent length. A lot of replay value. But if I'm going to give a winner, I think I'm going to give it to Thug because ultimately, production quality and everything else, obviously there was a little bit more money behind it for obvious reasons as well. But I do think Thug, right? Like, I can't give it all to Gunna because he did the entire album surrounding what was going on with him. I expected that. So it's kind of hard for me to be like, well, that makes him a decisive winner because, yeah, Thug can't even talk about the shit right now. You know what I mean? So I think his album would have sounded a lot different if he was out. So with what we do have, solid. Anyways. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what is the ghetto. I can't keep doing this. Quick side note. I just got a new spot, y'all. So we're moving soon. The podcast is going to look a lot different very soon. But anyway, yeah, both of these guys did great. I understand why people think Gunna's album was better. And I think partly, too, is because they can't talk about how it's better. Not better, but how it's good. Right? A lot of people are like, well, I can't. I legitimately can't support this instead because I can't. Anyways, The Winning Podcast. We're not taking any breaks today. We're just going to record, right? And this is great. I mean, you know what I mean? I guess I could. The camera looks good. It's getting that white. I don't even know. Anyway, let's pod. Keeping on the music, Coi Leray dropped a second album, right? Or this, she's dropped the tape before because she had Nicki and a lot of other names. Solid project. I've always said Coi Leray has talent because she's shown the space that she can work in. I think that's a really, you need that under your belt in today's day and age when it comes to music. Because with the way they're describing rap nowadays, especially with Lil Uzi Vert, she's good. She can hang out. You know what I mean? She can hang. She can hang for sure. First week sales, 10,000. But again, I get it, right? Like, we're not in the culture of heavy sales. We're not in the culture of million first week anymore. And she's definitely one of those hit makers. But I do think a lot more people should check out her tape. You know what I mean? I think a lot more people should be checking out what she has to do because she's really good at what she does. She's really good at bringing on different sounds. At bringing on different talent and character and just... She can rap. Carla Rae can rap. Writers in the room with her or not, her delivery is there. She got it. So good for her. I guess in the past, I've been very adamant about numbers or a really interesting representation for any artist's career, right? Even when it comes to podcasting. And I know Drake said, the people who tell you they don't care about the number, the people who tell you they don't care about numbers are the people who aren't making numbers. And I'm sure there's a lot of truth to that. But at the same time, looking at the quality of this album, there's something else there, because this is a good, especially from the girls' camp, right? When we're talking about rappers, you know, the guys and the girls, this is a solid take. This is a contender that could knock out a lot of the guys right now. She did well, is what I'm saying. So, yeah, I got to take it back. I have to start looking at it differently, because numbers aren't always there. Unless you're Drake. Which even Drake, now, you know, he's running out 250 to 600K when he drops. Immense. That's a lot more than a lot of, I mean, that blows 99.9% of the entire industry out the water. But take it back a half a decade or so, Drake was doing close to a million first week. But anyway, I had Offset and Cardi B on here because, you know, there were these cheating rumors and things that, I don't know, it was weird. But I'm realizing these guys are all marketing geniuses, all right? Because they try to say some slick shit, and then what you really find out is they were working on music, they were getting ready to roll it out. Cardi B is a feature queen, right? She kills it every time she does a feature. She puts her best... Listen, I am still on the boat that Cardi needs to give us another album so we can legitimize her power, like her as a figurehead in hip hop. We need more than one album. We can't give you the one and done. In the realm of projects, that's a one hit wonder. You know what I mean? We need that second follow up of, damn, you really got it. She does it with the features, right? She hasn't missed. She just did a feature with Sexy Red. Crazy. She doesn't miss. And she looks good. It doesn't hurt. I know she has the talent. I know she knows what she's doing. But I am still on the board that we need another album, because you're killing the features. You're killing the ads. You're killing growing your brand right now. But ultimately, to solidify yourself in the hip-hop space, we might not need like a conceptual trilogy. But 2 to 3 albums is what would do it for me as a listener, as a fan, because it's no shade to her. And this is more of the space of, we need more. People like her need to put more music out, because they're the people who will give legitimacy to hip-hop, right? Like, Cardi B, whenever she steps out, she gives legitimacy to what the culture is and what the culture can be and what it can accomplish. So I think it's very important for people like her, for people like all of the greats, like Nicki Minaj and all of them, to continuously put out work, because not to be that guy, the newer artists are still getting refined, to put it nicely. They're still working out their sounds. They're still kind of figuring it out. So I think that is why we really need another album from Cardi B. But that aside, she's killing the features. She really is. She has not missed so far. And I'm really excited for what she does next. I'm really excited for her music. I do enjoy Cardi B a lot. But I do think it's time that we get another project so we can really see what we're working with. Moving on. Now that we're done with music, let's kind of get into news real quick, right? This is definitely a topic I wish I had, or Caleb was here for, because I have a lot of ideas off of this that I want to kind of bounce around. Maybe I'll just slightly bring it up now, and the next recording we do will really kind of dive into it. Because I do want to wait this out a little bit. It's the Jonathan Majors, the case and the direction it's heading in. Pause. Listen. Initially, when all this came out, the position you always got to take is there has to be some truth to it, right? But now, with the information we're being provided, a lot of people are kind of saying they jumped the gun. A lot of people, not me. I'm not admitting anything. But a lot of other people are saying they jumped the gun. A lot of people are saying that, wow, like, we were wrong. So I personally want to see this through its entirety before I really make that decision. Because if I'm being completely honest, I don't know. Right? So the way this is developing is Jonathan Majors is now pretty much cleared. Enough information has been brought forward, enough witnesses, and enough to now that the NYPD is considering arresting the woman who accused them initially of all of these things. Right? So what are we... Whoa, what a twist. Because what everybody was expecting was for this man to get dropped from everything, because as this went to trial, we'd come to find out he's a piece of shit. But that's not the case. It's going in a very different direction that a lot of people were assuming. It's kind of crazy. Because now the other part of it is, where do we go from here? Obviously, his career forever tainted. Obviously, his career will never be the same, because this will follow him, especially as a black man in America. But where do we go from here? I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, this is why you can't. No, because I don't even believe that. Because, again, initially, immediately, I was like, yo, there has to be some legitimacy to this, right? But now, we need to see how this really works out and what really happened. She did recant her story initially. Is this what we're seeing is now why she was recanting? I don't know, but it's kind of crazy. Here's the other thing. Now, with everybody else who was like, well, he has been like this, what does that mean for those people? Because if he gets cleared of this and Hollywood embraces him back, he might not that he's going to go out of his way to persecute people, but he might not want to do a movie with specific people. But the people who are funding the movie might rather have him than those specific people. There's going to be a lot coming from this. You know what I mean? And that's why, for me, I really got to see how this ends before I have a true opinion. Because depending on how this works, there's going to be a lot of fallout in Hollywood. Because a lot of money was put towards this guy being the next one, right? A lot of money was put towards this guy being him. He was him. Marvel is when you get your cake in Hollywood. An entire arc built around you? Listen, a lot's going to come from this. Disney pushed out all the movies out to a year to really see how this plays out, which is telling me that they're willing to invest into this man based on the information we're being provided. Anyways, we got to see how it plays out. But it's not looking good for the initial person who presented this, you know, who made the call. So we'll see how it really plays out. On other news in the culture, this one's a little bit more interesting. So, middle of the week, this video comes out of these two dancers who worked the, I think, the All-Star Weekend. And they walk up to their apartment, and these guys come from around the corner and rob them. and apparently robbed him of like $10,000. But here's the thing. It looked like a setup. It looked like a setup. It smelled like a setup. The minute I watched the video, I go, is this staged? Not the robbery, but the people involved looked like they were tipped off. It wasn't like it was an easy robbery. Look up the video. I might drop the link in the description, but yeah, these girls walk up to their door. Two guys come around the corner with guns. Obviously, you did the right thing. Give up all you have because no material possession is worth your life. The funny thing is, though, one girl is clearly terrified out of her mind because she's getting robbed and probably had the money. The other girl, you know, she's like, oh, my God, we're getting robbed. But in a way, are you getting robbed? Or are you going to pick your shit up later because you look like you're in on this? And here's the other part. They get robbed, right? So the one girl who gets robbed really gets robbed. And then the assailants turn around to go in and they remember to rob the other girl. But not in a way that they just forgot, but in a way of, oh yeah, we got a robber too. So, you know, it could look like it's not a setup type of way. And it was insane. Because they went back, and one of the, again, they were kind of aggressive with the other girl, but the other one, they were like, I just like, it's like, hand it to me. You know what I mean? He was one of those, reach your hand, she goes, oh, yeah, like, you did forget my phone, too, but, like, you know, don't look through my shit, because I know you, type deal. But anyways, that's all I have for that. I think it's interesting, right? Friends do set you up. Your best buddies will try to slide in your girl and do all, the people are fishy. So, yeah, the girl you're working with who's buddy-buddy with you in the back of the room, but y'all making money together, she might, oh, my God, I'm getting robbed. Oh, how could this happen? How did they know? So, anyways, the culture's interesting every now and then. Because I'm telling you, those guys, they knew each other. Whatever. And more serious news, though. The Supreme Court has decided to end affirmative action. If you don't know what that is, it's pretty much something put in place that gave minorities an opportunity to be in spaces that initially would be harder for them to get into, mainly education and higher education. Right? Because back in the day, when college was pretty much 100% white, you had a lot of alumni relatives just getting in based off recommendations like that. And when you think about it that way, those spaces stayed white. I went to a predominantly white college. And I easily can see how, because a lot of those kids, they'd be like, oh yeah, like someone in my family, usually like a direct family, came here. And I realized that for me, there is a high chance, even though with my academics that were really good, they would have turned me down based on the fact that I might not be a good fit culturally. Again, I'm not white. So this kind of hit me a little bit personally because I do have younger siblings who are going to be going to college. And I'm thinking, is this not going to be harder for them? That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, is it now a situation where, although they're clearly educated, smart, and have bright futures, a lot of doors might be closed because as much as it sucks, there's no more quota to hit for the black students, if I'm being completely honest. And I know a lot of the backlash as well was, well, we need to not be taking race into consideration. But the truth of the matter is we do. Because before, we were not getting the opportunities to succeed in these spaces, right? And I just think it's a little bit counterintuitive to take it away altogether when we know that minorities, not just black people, disproportionately have a harder time to get better education. We know that, right? A lot of times we don't have the opportunity to go get these cultural experiences from all over the world that we get out of university or out of college. And now if we're taking away the blanket of we need to give this community an opportunity to be in these spaces, what are we talking about? What are we really doing? It doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help anyone. You know what I mean? It to me, it's kind of crazy that we're even doing this. And this is such like an interesting thing to take away as well, because again, we've been seeing a wave of laws that were created to help support and build communities for minorities, LGBTQ plus communities, just getting stripped away, and no one is stopping it, right? We thought we elected these people in power to protect us and keep everything cool and whatever, but no one is stopping it. It's odd that so many laws that were meant to protect us are getting stripped away, and all you get is a "how could they do this" tweet. It's insane. Anyway. Yeah, Joe Biden, my student loans, my guy. Listen. Here's the thing. When I went to college, I never went with the expectation or even a dream somebody would ever forgive them. But again, you ran an entire campaign off of this. And you know, at the very home stretch, it's just gone. They said they're not going to do it. And again, what we got was we're going to work on this tweet. I don't like that. Like, what are we talking about? Do something. Take these damn loans away. All I've been doing is spending my money because you were supposed to take the student loans away. You know what I mean? So I think we're heading in a very interesting direction as a country. I thought we were doing good. Obviously, we weren't. You know what I mean? But in terms of setting up these rules and regulations and laws for these communities to thrive, I did think we're doing pretty good. But we are clearly taking steps back. So whatever. Now let's get into some more spicy shit. Because we're going to wrap this up here soon. It's just me. We ain't got to hang out for that long, you know what I mean? Like I said earlier, though, if you enjoy watching soccer or you enjoy playing FIFA, we have another channel where all I do is play FIFA and have commentary and attend games and post about it. If you're interested, TWP Football, look it up. Anyways, I want to start this out by saying I am not one of the strongest soldiers out there when it comes to dating and the way I want my relationships to be. Because of that, I date very specific women that my values align with. And that's all I'm going to say. I know what I want, and I look for women who know what they want, and we can kind of work that out, and we're not going to cross any boundaries or do anything to make the other person unhappy. That means a lot of things to a lot of different people. It does. It just does. So that's not a good or bad thing to say, right? We all have different boundaries. We all expect different things from our partners. So the next thing we're going to talk about is Keke Palmer and Darius Dalton, or Dalton Darius, whatever his name is. Listen, man. So backstory, Keke Palmer goes to see Usher at his residency in Vegas. She just had a baby. She looks good. She looks good. I ain't gonna hold you. She looks good, right? She was showing ass. Like, her outfit, she just looked good. The cheeks were out. A couple videos came out. A couple screenshots of Usher looking at her. And with a big grin, you know what I mean? Like, some as a man, you'd be like, yo, stop looking at my girl like that. And then another video of him serenading her. As a guy, in any other situation, I understand, feel how you feel. But at the Usher residency in Vegas, him picking your girl out the crowd and serenading her, no matter what she got on. I don't know. I mean, I guess for me, as more of a regular Joe, my girl's not going to go home with Usher. I mean, she might, maybe, I don't know. That just tells us where our relationship is, really. But in that specific situation, I understand why my girl would be googly-eyed and over the top, because not every woman can tell you they got serenaded by Usher at his residency in Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, very few can say that. So I understand why, as a woman, even as another celebrity, that's hot. I get it. Again, it's Usher. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that also no one ever says anything bad about the guy. He looks like a good time. So that's my take on it, right? Like, I don't think Keke Palmer wore that night knowing that was going to happen. For me, the aspect of, you know, what are you wearing? You know, this might make men come on to you. Like, how are you going to react when Usher might see? All of that doesn't really matter, because you probably weren't thinking of that when you were just going out with your girls and having a good time, and then Usher chose you out the crowd. Whatever. Her baby daddy did not feel the same way. My man went on Twitter and said, you know, it kind of sucks. I'm paraphrasing. It kind of sucks when you live in a culture where, as a man, pretty much, you get with a bad girl and she's still showing ass, is what he said. Again, paraphrasing, because he really went and was like, the mother of your kids, you're a mom, why are you dressed this way? And all sorts of other things that he said. And I get it. Listen, I understand. Here's my advice to Darius Dalton Darius, whatever. You need to date women who feel that way. I agree with people that said, how are you going to date a woman like Keke Palmer, knowing who she is, knowing who she is, and then hold that against her? That, to me, that is weird. If you want a conservative relationship, find a conservative relationship. Those women are out there who won't even show an ankle. So on that premise, I get it. But you're just dating the wrong person, and that's your fault. You know what I mean? And whether you weren't always like this and you just kind of switched up, you're still able to just not date this person. That is what I will say. Both people can be right in this situation. Again, I don't agree with what he's saying. But again, if this is what you're looking for, then do not be with this person. Because I agree with everybody else who's saying Keke Palmer should get to do whatever she wants. And to that effect, I think she should also date somebody who will allow her to do that. You know what I mean? And that's what I mean by, I'm not going to say he's wrong, because again, that is what some people want. Some people don't want a partner that, when they get on social media, are getting serenaded by Usher. We've all seen a Boondocks episode, all right? A lot of women would fold for Usher, I'm sure. I'm joking, obviously, but I get it. I understand the insecurities, but then live in that space is what I'm going to say. That is my advice. Date somebody who will not, I guess... Yo, she looked good, y'all. She looked good. I'm going to tell you, she looked good. But as a man, I'd be like, yeah, that's my girl. Because I know at the end of the day, that's my girl. She looked good. So, again, if that's not something you can handle, and again, I've came out and said before, like, there are some women I could not handle dating. Because our worlds are just so different and our experiences are just so different. I could not handle it because it just would not work out. I wouldn't be able to comprehend it. So because of that, I don't date these women, because I would never date these women and expect them to change their lifestyles for me. I'd never ask that because it doesn't make sense. They have a demographic who would date them. So I'm gonna rock with that. And I have a demographic of women that I would like to date and who would like to date me instead. So that'd be my advice to Double D. Pause. That was nasty work. I just don't know the guy's name. But anyway, that would be my advice to them. There's no criticizing Keke Palmer for what she did. Again, it's Usher. A lot of you niggas can't sing. And a lot of you niggas ain't got residencies in Vegas. You know who else this happened to? Joe Budden. But he had a lot more of a graceful response than this nigga did. Because Joe was like, you could have given me the mic too. I get that. Again, you can have fun with it because ultimately he's getting paid to do this. Ultimately, it'd be so odd if Usher wasn't serenading some of these women. And it's Keke Palmer. She look good. I ain't gonna hold you. She look good. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, stop being insecure. These women understand that when you also do want to date them, they thought you were probably better than that. So step up. Don't drop the ball now. Because, yo, listen, I agree with the other people who said, yo, when she got home, that energy could have been different. Because, yo, I know you're off the high. You just met Usher. Let me be your, you know what I mean? Do something, my guy. But what you don't do is get on social media and blast your wife or baby moms or a woman. That is ugly behavior for sure. You ugly now. If you weren't before, you are now for sure. Anybody trying to deal with that? You could have at least texted her, you know what I mean? Like, hey, you see that? I saw that screenshot of him staring down the cheeks. I ain't like that. That's okay. You ain't got to blast her on social media. Because she could have, you know, maybe over text, she could have been thought you're joking. She could be like, well, when I get home, you about to be staring down the shit. You know what I mean? Like, live it up to see how your girl's really feeling. But coming off the energy right off the rip off, you're a mother. On Twitter, bro, you're a dad. Go take care of them kids. And that's not even about gender roles or who makes more or less. It's just, what are you talking about? Like, anyways, it could also just be marketing too. What do I know? I'm not in the industry. Talking about relationships though and couples, Adam 22 and Lena the Plug. I know you guys know about this, right? So Adam 22 is dating cam girl, OnlyFans model, YouTuber, streamer, Lena the Plug. They're married. They have a kid together, I'm pretty sure, yeah. So I've been known about them, right? Adam 22, No Jumper. He's been in the podcast space, Plug Talk Show with his wife, Lena the Plug. Lena the Plug, again, has been an actress for a while now. She does adult films. And their things has always been sleeping with other girls for at least 7 years now. And he's always been able to partake in. He's always the guy in it. So recently, it came out that she's doing her first scene with, yo, she's doing her first scene with one of them dudes who be on Blacked. If you want to know what that is, look it up. I hear them dogs, yo, I hear what's over there. It's insane. All right. I hear it's just insane. I looked it up. I exited out quick. I was like, yo, this wouldn't even look normal. Like, this shit was insane. Needless to say, torn up. She even said it. She goes, yeah, I was in pain for 3-4 days. Crazy. But yeah, so she, whatever business move or whatever space they're in, did her first male scene with another guy. She's put out a couple screenshots. Listen. He's more man than me. I'm going to tell you that right now because looking at the screenshots and how she was holding on to the other guy and staring in his face as she's like, I think like 5 feet something, and he's just rearranging her. Oh, my God. I'm not going to lie. I had a nasty gut feeling. I was like, yo, I wouldn't survive that. But again, that's why I wouldn't date somebody in that industry. No shade to that industry at all. I just would not survive that because I understand it's work, but God damn, you're good at it. You know, it's like, I get it. It's like, you know, you walk into an office with your significant other and everybody just loves them. You go, what? Damn, like, you're really good at this. So, insane. So she does, the scenes already happened. They've been talking about it. Adam 22 is trying to make his jokes that everybody say they love black people but wouldn't let their wives sleep with a black guy. I'm telling you, dog, like, this dude, like, the guy, you just got to look at stuff on your own so you can have your own surprise and amazement. He's a monster. You can't touch my girl, bro. Get out. Keep the money. I know we already paid you, but keep the money. You ain't touching my girl, bro. Put that away. It is insane. So I know I would not survive that interaction. And no matter how much assurance I got from my wife afterwards, just her, again, watching the clips of her being like, yeah, like, it took me 3 or 4 days to bounce back. I can't. My heart is not strong enough to survive stuff like that. But that's why I'm not in the industry. I think as a kid growing up, you know, people would ask you too. It's like, you think you could be a porn star? And so I was, yeah, of course. But at my age now, it's like, yo, man, keep that away from me and mine, because we ain't doing all that. But again, preferences, boundaries. Shout out Adam22. Maybe it really is just whatever to him. Maybe he really doesn't care. I don't know. But what I can say is it takes a different breed not to. So shout out the guy. With that said, guys, we're going to wrap this up. I actually have plans, so I need to get out of here. I'm going to get this uploaded as soon as possible. This has just been another great episode with the Winning Podcast, right? Catch us on YouTube. Catch us on all streaming services. I have my Invisalign in, that's why I got a lisp. It's also kind of cold in here. My lips are kind of dry. So we're going to wrap this up. It's been your host, Luigi. As always, sit back, relax. You're going to be here a while. The Winning Podcast. We out.